friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. And happy Friday. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the February 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin with African boxing. Ghana's former world lightweight champion Richard Comey will be back in the ring Saturday night when he fights the Dominican Jackson Marinez in a 10-round non-title bout in Las Vegas, Nevada. It'll be Comey's first fight since he lost the IBF lightweight title 14 months ago at Madison Square Garden in New York City. Comey has 29 wins and 3 losses with 26 knockouts, and Marinez has 19 victories and 1 defeat with 7 knockouts. I asked our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Mueta, based on Comey's layoff of more than a year, is this a dangerous fight for the Ghanaian?
Sonny, in the fight game, we call this kind of fight tune-up fight or stay busy fight. Homeboy has been out of the ring since December 2019 when he was knocked out cold. I was ringside for that fight. I will never forget that fight against Teofimo Lopez. Well, he's fighting a Dominican. Dominicans and Mexicans, they are tough fighters. He's fighting Jackson Martinez. In that Martinez 20 fight, he only has 7 knockouts and he's 30 years old and he's tall, which means he's not a big puncher. So if Richard Comey can just walk through him, go in there and take him out. And mind you, this fight is on ESPN on a Saturday night, and we're talking about eyeball. If he can deliver a good knockout on television Saturday night, he is in one of the best divisions in boxing because he's a former world champion. You have Teofimo Lopez, you have Tank Davies, and you have Ryan Garcia. These are all money fights. When we talk money fights, we're not even talking about $500,000. We're talking about $1.2 million. So homeboy from Ghana, get it together, score a knockout Saturday night on ESPN, and he's back in the money mix.
Nnamdi, I was taking a look at that ESPN fight card, and the boxer who will open the show is from Nigeria, a heavyweight, Kingsley Ibe. And checking out his record, 5 wins, 1 loss, and 1 draw with 4 knockouts. Nnamdi, what can you tell our VOA listeners about Kingsley Ibe?
Sonny, we have Kingsley Ibe, Nigerian-born heavyweight, fighting out of Phoenix, Arizona. They call him the Black Lion, you know. This will be his second fight on ESPN from the MGM Grand. He's 27 years old, converted defensive end, who stands 6'4", coming in at 286 pounds. Played American football at Washburn University and played in the Canadian Football League. Turned pro in 2019. He went to the gym, to sell insurance to the local owner of the gym. That's how he got hooked in boxing. But he's going to face a tough test on Saturday against young, undefeated American in Gerard Anderson, who is 7-0 with 7 knockouts, you know. And Anderson is 21, and the Black Lion, Kingsley Ibe, is 27. So it's a test for both guys. It's a must-see fight Saturday night. Heavyweight Rumble, don't miss on ESPN.
Finally, Nnamdi, I understand the Nigerian boxing community recently suffered a loss.
Sonny, the Nigerian boxing community lost a very popular boxer in Akeem Dodo Sadiku. He was laid to rest in his hometown, Ijebu Igbo, Ogun State, recently. He inspired many boxers in Oyo State. His last fight was December 27 when he stopped George Amusun in the second round in Ibadan. One defeat in 13 pro bouts, died from complication arising from surgery, survived by 4 children. condolences to the family in Nigeria, in Ijebu Igbo, and to the boxing community in Oyo State, Nigeria. Rest in peace, Dodo Sadiku.
Thanks, Namdi. And we here at the Sunny Side of Sports send our condolences to the family and friends of Akeem Dodo Sadiku.
Hello, listeners. My name is Juma Miro, the Commonwealth Games bronze medalist in Australia 2018. Listen to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Samson Omale joins us now with a spicy package of African sports news. And Samson says he'll be kicking off with a bronze medal winning performance by an Egyptian football club. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you too, Sunny. We begin the preview of the weekend action in African sports in Qatar, where the 2021 edition of the FIFA Club World Cup was concluded on Thursday. Al Ahly of Egypt, African club champions who represented the continent at the tournament, claimed the Club World Cup's bronze medal for a second time after beating South American champions Palmeiras 3-1 penalties following a goalless draw in Qatar's Al Rayyan on Thursday. Al Ahly goalkeeper El Shanawi, one of Ahly's standout performers in their treble-winning campaign last season, produced two superb saves in the shootout to lead the Red Devils to a remarkable victory over their fancied opponent. Coach Pitso Mosimane was full of praises for his players for winning two of the three matches they played at the tournament.
We came here, we won two games, we lost one, and as I said, we must also know who we lost to. So it's a happy place. We'll come back at any time. The pitches are good. The organization is good. I mean, what do you ask for? This is the best place to come. We'll come back easily, and we are happy to be here. Any coach who comes to this tournament comes to win the tournament. You believe you can win, okay? Otherwise, you will get sacked if you are a coach and you don't believe. Even the players will say, what kind of a coach is this? Yes, we believe we could have won the World Cup, but let's talk about realities. Realities are, it's very difficult to win the World Cup, you know. We played a team that's very strong, Bayern, whatever. So let's be honest and let's accept what we are and where we are. We got the right results. We got the bronze medal. Yes, who remembers the bronze medal? Nobody. But at this point in time, where we are amongst the other teams, I'm happy to get the bronze because I had Bayern in the semifinals.
Bayern Munich won the Club World Cup trophy after beating Mexico's Tigres 1-0 on Thursday thanks to Benjamin Pavard's winner on the hour to end Bayern their sixth trophy in less than 9 months. Back on the continent, the 2020 CHAN tournament for home-based players may have ended on Sunday in Cameroon with Morocco defending the title they won in 2019. But the Central African country, Cameroon, will remain under scrutiny as it prepares to welcome Africa once more for the biggest football showpiece on the continent, the African Cup of Nations. How prepared is Cameroon to host Africa, judging by the staging of the just-concluded CHAN? I spoke to two Cameroonian sports journalists, Benin Bonagana, editor-in-chief for the Cameroon Radio National Television, and André Mirabeau Mahop of Canal 2 International Television, on the readiness of Cameroon to execute a successful hosting of AFCON 2022.
Will Cameroon be ready? Yes, Cameroon will be ready. You saw the state-of-the-art stadium in Japoma. That is in Douala. You saw the beautiful Bepanda Reunification Stadium, the Amadou Ahidjo Stadium in Yaoundé, and of course the stadium in Limbe. What the government in Cameroon has done is that the government in Cameroon has invested a lot in infrastructure, and it was praised by Gianni Infantino, praised by Ahmed, praised by all the other coaches. Now there are other stadiums that are still to come up. Cameroon is working on them. You have the Port Orbia Stadium, that is the Olimbe Stadium, that is going to be another great jewel. You have a stadium, Kwekong, in Bafoussam, that is in the west region of Cameroon, and then you have another stadium that is up in the north of Cameroon, that's the Rumde Aja Stadium. All of these stadiums will be available before the AFCON. So Cameroon is very, very ready. Of course, those who have attended, the CAF have pointed to Cameroon some things to correct, which I think they can correct, and then everything is going to be okay.
We can trust Cameroon. Trust Cameroon because of stadium. There's a good stadium. Chapuma, Yaoundé, Douala, Bepanda, and there's another stadium. They are bleeding. Olimbe. I think we can trust Cameroon for it. Now, for the organizations, there are small things they have to fix, but they can fix it. That's why Shan was like a match test before the big match. It was good for Cameroon, good for people, good for volunteers, good for everybody, and even journalists. I think they saw how they can host a continental competition. Next year, it will be better for Africa. I think the AFCON will be good in Cameroon, even for public.
Staying with CAF competition, the 2021 Total AFCON Under 20 tournament, hosted by Mauritania, will begin this weekend in the cities of Nouakchott and Ouagadougou. This is the first time the Under 20 African Cup of Nations has been expanded to 12 teams instead of the 8 in previous tournaments. Host Mauritania are drawn in Group A with Cameroon, Uganda, and Mozambique, while Group B is made up of Burkina Faso, Tunisia, Namibia, and the Central African Republic. Ghana have been paired with Tanzania, Gambia, and Morocco in Group C.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
And now to the CAF Champions League. The mini-league stage of the 2020-2021 Total CAF Champions League will kick off this weekend. And here are the fixtures. In Group A, it will be Al Ahly of Egypt versus El Merrikh of Sudan. AS Vita of DR Congo will face Simba of Tanzania in Kinshasa. In Group B, TP Mazembe of DR Congo will face CR Belouizdad of Algeria in Lubumbashi, while Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa will be hosting Al Hilal of Sudan in Swane. In Group C, Saturday's game between Wydad Casablanca of Morocco and Kaizer Chiefs of South Africa has been put on hold after the Moroccans failed to issue visas to the South Africans, citing COVID-19 restrictions, while in Nongo, Horoya Guinea will face Petro Atletico of Angola. In Group D, it will be Esperons of Tunisia versus Genogeth of Senegal, while MC Alger will travel to Cairo to face Zamalek of Egypt. It's exactly a month before the CAF presidential election, and the race for the topmost CAF presidential position is hotting up. One of the candidates that has been cleared by FIFA to contest the election is the president of the Senegalese Football Federation, Augustin Senghor, who has indicated that once elected, he will focus on restructuring CAF and improving on its negative perception on corruption allegation on the incumbent president.
The first step for me, it will be to change our text. I think it is of utmost importance for me. Second, reorganizing our structures. It is an executive committee. It is administration with a very strong general secretary department, and also putting a new way of ruling and working for our administration and our governing bodies. You know, it is what we call ethical aspect. Give to CAF manual of procedure, which will allow to avoid all these crises and problem we are living regarding the ethical situation. Putting in place a new governance.
In basketball news, all remaining games of the FIBA AfroBasket 2021 qualifiers will take place during next week's final window from February 17th to the 21st, 2021. Uganda's national basketball team, called the Silverbacks, is already in Monastir, Tunisia, for the final round of the FIBA AfroBasket 2021 qualifiers. George Galanopoulos, head coach of Uganda Silverbacks, speaks on their preparation wins so far.
What we're focusing on is keeping it simple and making sure that we clarify exactly what we're doing defensively. And we've been playing live a lot the last couple of days, some long practices. And like I said, the communication's been at a high level. These guys are getting more familiar with what we're doing, the more familiar they are with each other. So that's the main difference that I've seen is there's a lot more clarity on the defensive end about what we're doing, what we want to do, and how to do it.
And now to athletics, where the Nigerian National Sports Festival, which brings together over 10,000 athletes from all over Nigeria, has suffered another setback after the Nigerian government announced that it will no longer hold on February 14, as agreed by sponsors, officials and athletes in December 2020. Rather, the 20th edition of the National Sports Festival in Nigeria will now hold in April as a result of the second wave of COVID-19. Bambo Akoni manages an athletics management company. He says the shift will significantly affect Nigeria's preparations ahead of the Tokyo 2020 Olympics.
It is going to have an impact on our Olympic preparation. We should be having more athletes qualified for the Olympics already. I know quite a few athletes who were planning to qualify at the festival. Now they have to wait till April for the chance to do that. But I think it's left for each individual sport to also have their calendar arranged so that they can actually get their athletes ready.
It's back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale with a very spicy compilation of African sports news.
Sporting greetings. This is Chairman Christian Chukwu, former captain of national team Green Eagles, former coach of Super Eagles, former coach of Kenya national team, former coach of Safa of Lebanon. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. In more Nigeria sports news, the Lagos State Football Association says its youth development program is yielding positive results. Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the association's technical director, Doten Coker.
The philosophy was to teach the youth players proper ways to receive, retain, and release balls, and follow up with their education, reviewing their term papers, and create opportunities for scholarship. The ages of these youth players are independently and continually checked to ensure that they play in their right age groups.
What has been the results, achievements of this program? Any product in the national themes?
The results has been encouraging and wanting to do more. The achievements of this program has produced 9 football scholars to the prestigious Greenspan School, Lekki Lagos, notably Amusa Ali and Elvis Oyezin, that won gold medal for Nigeria at the African Youth Games, Botswana 2014. Also, a female football scholar named Joy Okoye made it to the respected Right to Dream Academy, Ghana, and now in Canterbury College, Connecticut, in the United States of America. At the National Youth Games 2019 in Ilorin, Nigeria, and based on education and football performance, 3 players were offered scholarship to the Turkish International School, Abuja. All our football scholars and talented non-scholars are in future Super Eagles. Notably also is the captain of the last under-17 to the World Cup, Samson Tijani.
Do you have similar programs for girls' football?
On the women's football, we have similar programs for them, and players have achieved progress to the national team. Presently, the under-20 captain, Monday Gift, is with Super Falcons. We have Chidima Okeke in the Super Falcons. You have Folashade Jamilusi, Esther Adebere. You have Chidima Obuchi, who plays in the under-17 national team, and Afolabi Taiwo, that have an exemplary performance at the National Youth Games. And may I remind all of us that Lagos State is the defending champion of the football category at the National Youth Games.
What about the Junior League or J League that produced Leicester City midfielder Wilfred Ndidi and Napoli forward Victor Osimhen and other stars? Is this still on course?
The Junior League was a brilliant initiative and acceptable to football stakeholders because of the gap in football activities in the states. The Junior League, as expected, was supposed to produce areas of exceptional talents like Ndidi, Wilfred, Victor Osimhen and others in an early competitive matches. However, as against the advice of the Lagos State Football Association that the J-League must be independently managed by knowledgeable persons, the J-League was exposed to political management and eligibility challenges, hence the collapse of the Junior League. The Lagos State Football Association has stepped up consultations with relevant stakeholders to kick off an independent league named Under 20 Eco Super League in 2021, save for the COVID-19 pandemic. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, Doten. That's Doten Coker, the technical director of the Lagos State Football Association. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Press Conference USA guest host Kim Lewis. Join me and VOA senior TV correspondent Chris Simpkins as we discuss the great migration of African Americans with author and historian Jesse Holland. We'll discuss how it shaped the political, social, and cultural landscape of America. Listen this Saturday and Sunday on Press Conference USA on The Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The COVID-19 pandemic has forced the Australian state of Victoria to go into a 5-day lockdown. As a result, the Australian Open tennis tournament will continue, but with no crowds for 5 days. The tournament director is Craig Tiley.
All along in this process, we've said that the number one priority was going to be the safety of the community, the health of the community, as well as of all of our guests. And all the decisions are based around that. And as a result, we had to have a series of contingency plans in place, all the way from the cancellation of the event to what we've been experiencing. And this was one of our plans for us to compete in a bubble and to do it in a safe way.
Craig Tiley also gave some details about the conditions for the players in that quarantine bubble.
What will be different for the players is besides the fact that there will be no fans, they will travel between the site and their place of residence. And not dissimilar to everyone else under the conditions of this lockdown where you can leave your home for an hour, leave your residence for an hour, stay within 5 kilometers for exercise. Otherwise, everything else you're not able to do, the players will be in those, under those same conditions.
American tennis star Serena Williams was one of the winners on Friday. Serena defeated 19-year-old Russian Anastasia Potapova in straight sets 7-6 and 6-2 to reach the round of 16 in Melbourne. Talk to us, Serena.
It was good to get through that match, and the first set was extremely tight, and I was a little tight, but it worked out and was able to play a little more free in the second set.
If Serena Williams can lift the trophy in Melbourne, it will be her record-tying 24th major singles title. Serena says she's always received nice crowd support down under.
I feel like I've always had a great reaction from the Australian crowd, to be honest. Probably not so much 5 years ago because I feel like they've been pro Serena for a minute. But yeah, it's been really nice to kind of feel that. But I don't know. Like I said, I've always felt like Australia has been a place that I've always loved to play, and I've always had some really amazing support here.
American tennis star Serena Williams. 2020 Australian Open finalist Dominic Thiem was another winner on Friday. Thiem eliminated local favorite Nick Kyrgios of Australia in a hard-fought 5-set match.
It was an epic match, I think, huge.
effort from both players, actually. And honestly, I was already almost on the way home when I faced two break points in the beginning of the third set. But in general, I think it's one of the tougher challenges out there in tennis to face Nick when he's on fire on his favorite court with an unbelievable atmosphere and crowd behind him. So I'm super proud how I got through it.
Meanwhile, I think a 70-year-old sailor has reason to be super proud, as we hear now from VOA's Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Frank Rothwell was already an experienced sailor when a chance meeting at a pub in the northwest of England led the 70-year-old adventurer to sign up for the Talisker Whiskey Atlantic Challenge. The annual race crosses the Atlantic Ocean from La Gomera in the Canary Islands to Antigua in the West Indies. And last weekend, Rothwell finished the race with a time of 56 days, 2 hours, and 41 minutes. Now back on land, he tells Reuters News, his excursion began as a great adventure, and then reality set in.
Setting off was it was a fantastic moment. You know, I was buzzing at the time, and then he had out 2 or 3 miles. I think, oh no, what have I done? I've only done 2 miles and I've got another 2,000 of these to do.
Make that 3,000 miles across the Atlantic with nothing to do except keep on rowing.
First of all, rowing is really, really boring. Every stroke is the same as the last stroke, you know. And there's no seascape, there's nothing to pass.
But Rothwell said he did manage to find ways to keep his mind occupied.
Stroke after stroke after stroke, thousands of strokes, another thousands of strokes, a million strokes. And then you're looking at the clouds and trying to imagine what shapes you can see in the cloud. Oh, that cloud looks like a dog. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that cloud looks like Superman. You know, all these things you're trying to imagine, and you're going through everything in your life. You're going through your life, your life story. I wish I'd not done that, or we did that well, or that type of thing. It's all the time you're trying to think about life and your family.
Fortunately, the grandfather of three was able to phone Judith, his wife of 50 years, every day from the middle of the ocean. Those daily phone calls no doubt gave Rothwell the encouragement to finish the race he trained for months to complete. The Atlantic Challenge competitors, whether going solo or as part of a team, rowed unassisted with no one around to help and stayed attached to their boats at all times to avoid falling overboard. And thanks to a small cabin that's part of the boat's design, they were able to prepare food and sleep with a roof over their heads. Rothwell completed the race in Antigua's English Harbor in fourth place out of 8 rowers in his category, and he says he couldn't have been more relieved to see Judith waiting at the finish line.
Judith is my love, but also she's the best mate. You know, to come and meet your best mate, it's fantastic. It's like nothing else in the world. So the first thing I wanted to do was to cuddle Judith, which we did. And then the thing I missed most was a cool drink. And I wanted a cold Coca-Cola, big one, with loads of lemon in it. Something tangy and sharp and cold.
And he'll need that drink to tackle his next big challenge that Judith says will be much closer to home.
The list of jobs is, first of all, I'll have to tidy his garage up because it's a mess. And the other is start building a steam engine in the garage. So he'll have to tidy it up before he starts doing that.
Rothwell says it will take 2 years for him to build that steam engine from scratch. But in the meantime, he's relishing his latest accomplishment and says rowing for charity makes it all the more better.
I've seen an opportunity to raise money for a charity that's desperate for funds. And also I've had the opportunity to raise funds by doing this challenge. Everything's fallen into place, and it's looking by weekend that we're going to hopefully to touch the £1 million and raise £1 million and make a difference to people's lives.
Rothwell raised money towards the prevention and treatment for dementia as a tribute to his late brother-in-law. And on his Just Giving website, Rothwell has already exceeded his $1 million target for Alzheimer's Research UK. What an inspiration. And that is all from me, Sunny. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And you have a good weekend, too. That's VOA's Gwen Uten. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.